Welcome, Derek.
Thanks, John.
Lovely to have you
here.
Good
evening, everyone. How are you doing today, Greg? Awesome.
Fantastic to have you here. First of all, just give us a quick little sort of vibe. Brazil, what's Brazil like?
Brazil is amazing. Is there any Brazilian here tonight?
Any Brazilians? They're all here this morning. Oh, yes.
There we go.
Oh, we've got some of your friends. The girls sitting behind you are from Brazil.
Yeah, they're my friends from Nusa.
Nusa?
Yeah.
Brazilian Nusarites. I love that. That's magnificent. So, now, I heard this morning that Portuguese is your first language.
I was teaching John a little Portuguese. He does really well. Can you show them what you learned?
Yeah. What
is the name of the town I live?
Oh, dude. I looked at it on Google Maps. It's a little hard. You tell everybody.
Florianópolis.
Yes, exactly that.
Can you say that?
Exactly. Florianópolis. Yeah. Amazing. really cool. Well, one of the things I love about Derek, and I've had the privilege of interviewing him a couple of times, he's got a great sense of humor. He's like, you've got like an Aussie sense of humor, but it's probably a Brazilian sense of humor. So anyway, it's awesome to have you back. You're fresh off this week speaking to a whole lot of students at King's School in Sydney about 40 different times to different classes about compassion and resilience and faith and your relationship with God. So well done on all you do, traveling the world, inspiring people to follow Christ. You put your hands together for Derek. It's just
Thank you. Thank you.
Really, really cool. I'm going to start, since we were here last time, you've gone and had an expanded family. So just before we talk about surfing, before we talk about the challenges that you face, tell us a little bit about how you met your wife.
Yeah, so 5 years ago when I was here, right, my wife was just pregnant and no one really know. She was 8 weeks pregnant. But I met her in Perth.
What's her name again, sorry?
Maddie.
Maggie,
Yeah. I met her in Perth 8 years ago when I went to do a speaking tour over there.
Yes.
And I was speaking at her church, and after, out of nothing, she stepped on my foot. Uh-huh. She says it was accidentally.
Yes. And was it really accidentally?
Yeah, it was.
She was busting
it
a move.
It was actually. But I tell everyone it was not accidentally. So I tell her it was on purpose. But, and then a few weeks later, we were already dating. And in a short period of time, we were just married, which was amazing.
What attracted you to her?
She was very beautiful, and she still is. I loved her hair. When she stepped on my foot, she came to take a picture with me after, and I saw her hair.
Uh-huh.
And don't ask me how, but. So, and I saw her head, and I was in love with with her head, and I told my friend, I was like, oh, this German woman has an amazing hair. And then on the next day, she went to the Christian Surfers meeting, and we were able to talk for a little bit and chat. I invited her out for dinner. She said she couldn't go for dinner because she was very busy working, studying. And I'm like, what are you doing tomorrow night? And she's like, I'm going to dance salsa. And I'm like, you know what? My dream since a young boy was to learn how to dance salsa. And then, it was. And then she takes me to the class with her. And then after that, we were able to go for a date. And we became boyfriend and girlfriend. And then we were married a year later.
Well done.
And now we have two amazing little kids. We have Elias. He's 4 years old. And
so we've got a photo of Maddie up behind us. And then your first son, so the one that she was pregnant with when you were here last. And then one more. So what are your kids' names again?
Elias.
Yes.
Elias?
Yes.
And Hannah.
Hannah. Beautiful. Well, you've got a beautiful-looking family, mate. Congratulations. Now, you told us this morning that you were afraid that when your wife did the bridal walk that you wouldn't know that she was coming because you couldn't see her. What did she do?
Well, I was actually afraid that she would step on my foot again. And I was barefoot on that time at the beach. But it was a beautiful day because she surprised me. And I knew that she was concerned, actually, how I would know that she was, arriving.
Yes.
And then she went out singing that music, Angels Brought Me Here. And it was epic.
Did you cry?
So much.
Beautiful. I think you made some of us cry this morning when you were telling that story. And she's German.
She's German, even though everyone thinks she's Australian, but she's German.
Okay. Can you speak German as well as Portuguese?
No, not at all. Oh. I understand everything, but my speaking is horrible. Because at home, we are like three languages. She speaks fluent Portuguese.
Yes.
But her and I, we used to speak English between us, so we could never switch to Portuguese. And my kids, I speak Portuguese with them. She speaks German to my kids and to my dog. So it's like it's a whole mess of language at home.
I love it. And last question about Portuguese Brazil. Is El Porto genuinely good Portuguese chicken?
What?
El Porto. It's like an Australian version of Portuguese chicken.
El Porto? I don't know.
Haven't had it?
Okay. No, I haven't had it.
We're going to have to see you up for that. Okay.
What is the name? El Porto?
Yeah, I don't know. Anyway,
that sounds more like Mexican than Portuguese for me.
I'm being told to move it along. All right. To more important matters, Derek. Tell us, okay, so you were, in terms of your blindness, were you born blind or what? Tell us how that started.
Yeah, I was born blind with glaucoma, mm-hmm. but dad and mom, they found that out only 15 days after
you were born.
I was born. Mm-hmm. Actually, when dad saw that my eyes, they just opened, they were very blue, mm-hmm. and dad was like, hold on, there are no one with blue eyes here, so why does my son have blue eyes?
Right.
So he brings me to the doctor, and their diagnostic was glaucoma. And then they immediately took me to the surgery room, and mm-hmm. on the first 5 months of life, I went through 3 eye surgeries straight after each other.
Okay, wow. And so essentially they were hopeful that something might be able to happen, but you've been pretty much blind since then, is that right?
Yes, they say, even says on my book, you know, that every time that I would enter that room, mm-hmm. That heart was built up with a lot of hope, mm-hmm. but every time I would get out of that surgery room, they would be frustrated and not understand why it didn't work the way they wanted.
Mm-hmm. Okay. How have you, as you've grown up with blindness, and we're going to talk about some of the amazing things you've done, but with that condition, have there been times when that's got you down, or how have you dealt with that?
Well, growing up blind for me, I made it because the way that my parents, they wanted to raise me.
Right.
They always treated me as someone normal, as someone that didn't have a disability. And
really
I'm very grateful that they did that. Mm-hmm. And even though when they wanted to sign me up on a school, they didn't want to put me on a disability school. They wanted me to study on a normal school. Mm. And it was a really tough time because none of the normal prep school wanted to receive me, and they said, we cannot receive a blind student. Mm. We're not prepared for that. But thankfully, there was one school that they were open to have me.
Wow.
And my school time, unfortunately, it was a really tough time.
Wow.
Really challenging with the other students.
Yes.
A lot of bullying, a lot of rejection. Mm-hmm. Really challenging with teachers. And everything in terms of my studies was very delayed. I had to use Braille back in the day.
Yes.
And all my books would arrive with 3 months after all the other people. And I would still have to catch up for the exams and tests and assignments. And there were no compassion, nothing, and no kindness from the school on that side, which was very hard for me. But I never complained. I never even told those things to my parents. I would never arrive home and cry and sad, and because I knew that that would not change. The only choice I had was to feel strong and face those challenges the way I was, or being home feeling failure on my couch and feeling upset. And my choice was to face it and to go over no matter what. What would happen?
Wow, that's inspiring. Well done. Now, tell us about how you got into surfing, because that seems so ridiculous when you think about it. But what inspired you to get into surfing?
When I was very little, Dad he had a little shop at the Beach Road. And he was already a surfer. He actually named me after Derek Ho.
Like a famous Hawaiian surfer.
Famous Hawaiian surfer, right. Surfer, which I became really good friends with him. Unfortunately, he passed away a couple years ago.
Okay.
Left us. But
so your dad was a surfer then?
Yeah, my right. dad was a surfer. Yep. My uncle, like a little surf family. And I believe that was actually God's purpose into my life. I'm 100% sure. But so when I was little, besides my dad's store, it had a little surf shop. And yes. I would always go there, hang out, touch the surfboards, you know. And yeah. I would always play around at the beach, at the ocean. And I really had this desire of learning how to surf, but no one wanted to teach me. No one would want to do that. Even my dad, he was a bit afraid of teaching me. He thought I was going to kill myself, or even though he would always stress and believe that I could do anything, and yes. he'd always emphasize that into my life. You can yes. do anything you want. The fact that you're blind, it can't stop you. You can do anything. Wow. But when I was 17 years old, he grabs his surfboard. He's like, oh, let's go. I'll teach you how to surf. And that was the first day that I stood up on a surfboard. And I started to ride my first wave, and I fell in love.
Wow.
I was very passionate from the first day on. And 1 year after, 2 years after, I was pretty much surfing professionally already.
What? Okay, so everyone wants to know, how does it actually work? Like, do you have someone yelling out, stand up? Do you feel the waves coming?
No one yell at me. I yell at people to get out of
you
the way.
Yeah. Okay, good to know. Can you feel the wave? Do you hear it coming? How does it work?
Well, everything when I'm surfing, it's by feeling and listening to the waves breaking. Mm-hmm. And I pay attention to every little single detail, like the way that the wind is blowing helps me. When the wind kind of like blows on the face of the wave when yes. it's offshore, the sound of the white water coming down, the move of the ocean, like going back and forth, all of that together helps me. But obviously, when I head out there, I always go with a friend or with my surf coach, and yes. they help me out, they guide me a bit. But
so if you're swimming out into big waves, like trying to go out through a big set, you can hear them coming and know when to duck under?
Yes. I actually do that that better than surfing, and I'm glad I can duck dive really well. So just by listening to the wave.
Yes.
But I believe that none of that would be enough if I would not believe and trust that God is actually guiding me in the water. It's all through the faith I have, putting above all fears and anything.
That's amazing. Okay, when you say within 2 years you're starting to surf professionally, what did that look like?
I never expected that. I started surfing because I loved it.
Yep.
And I remember once my uncle, we were talking at the beach, and then he comes to me and he tells me something that actually I found really cool that he told me. He was not trying to discourage me or anything. And he goes, it's like, Derek, you know how tough it is to have a surf career.
Right.
Because he was a great surfer. And it's a very small percentage of really good surfers that can make a life living from
yes.
surfing. Right.
Yes.
And he goes and he tells me, don't stop to study. Keep focus on your normal life. And let surf happens naturally. Don't go on the mistake that I did of leaving everything behind to think that I'd be able to live a life for surfing. And even though I never expected to live a life from surfing, when he told me that, it even made me more strong and make sure, wow, I need to do surfing because I love it.
Right.
Not because anything else.
Right.
So I packed my trip to Hawaii for my first surf trip, the first time I leave the country.
Yes.
Basically, the first time I leave, you know, like my home,
yes.
speaking no English. and then I go to Hawaii for the first time to surf Pipeline.
Oh.
And once I get back from that trip, I got sponsored by a big surf brand, and that was when that journey started. I started to travel all over the world for surfing and for, you know, commitments with the brand. And
amazing.
I became a professional surfer.
What
and
the heck?
So that I did a movie about my life, and it was like a big change since.
So that became your livelihood. What did someone suggest to you that you could surf Pipeline? Because obviously that's one of the biggest places. Or did you just hear about it and go, I want to do that?
I had a friend. He was a boogie boarder.
Yes.
And he got back from one of his trips in Hawaii, and he was telling me about Pipeline. And I was like, I need to go to that place with you next time you go. I really want to surf that wave. Because I'm a goofy footer. I always love to surf, you know, lefts and barely. And
yes.
Pipeline is the place. And every time he would tell me that, I was like, Magno, I really want to go with you, dude. I want to make it happen. And he was crazier than me. He's like, well, let's do it. I'll take you. That's how the idea started.
So you had a friend who encouraged you. How cool is that? I love that.
Yeah, he really, really encouraged me, and he really helped me along my journey to go to Hawaii to surf Pipeline. And he actually really helped me on my Christian journey as well.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, was everyone on board with the whole Derek surfs Pipeline dream, or did you get some naysayers, some people who did?
Yeah, I had a huge encounter on the way. I think I shared a little bit of that earlier mm-hmm. today.
Yep.
So a few days before I was about to go to Hawaii, a professional surfer from my town, he comes to me, and he was trying to tell me not to go. I remember that the guys, they even had like a barbecue because to get all the surfers from my town to try to convince my friend not to take me. And after that, this guy comes to me and he's like, oh, you cannot go surf Pipeline. You're putting yourself in a huge danger. You don't know what you're doing. You're going to kill yourself. You're going to die. You don't do that. You're being very selfish, putting your desire, your dreams about your safety, about your family that loves you so much, about your friends. So you should not do that. And I was really terrified by that moment. And he was even telling me that every year someone dies surfing at Pipeline that, you know, was very out of reason what I was doing.
Wow. Okay. So now, you shared this morning, and I really like this. You went to see Pipeline, and Kelly Slater, who obviously you got to know. So most people will know Kelly Slater's one of the world's most famous surfers, 11-time world champion. Did he encourage you, or did he say, don't do it? What was the...
So when I met Kelly, was really funny because, you know, I told him I wanted to surf Pipeline, and he asked me why. And I was like, because I want to get barreled. And he goes, but you're not going to even see the barrel. And I'm like, Kelly, I want to feel the barrel. I want to have that experience. Do you believe I can make it? And he's like, yes, I believe. And we're surfing together a few times in California.
Yes.
And he's like, but you need to get better. You need to get prepared.
Right.
And I have three goals for you. Firstly, you need to get a thicker board
yep.
where you can paddle way faster than you do, so you enter the wave right. quicker.
Yep.
And you need to surf with someone on the same surfboard so they can show you how you'd speed up on that wave.
Okay.
And also on a boogie board with Mike Stewart, so he can take you inside and out the barrel at Pipeline.
And so actually go on a boogie board with somebody else on Pipeline.
Yes. So I did that first.
Just to get the feel for it.
Yeah, to actually, get that feeling. And
I love that.
I did all the three goals that he said, and 1 year later, I got back there, and then we surfed Pipeline together.
Okay, hectic. I think we've got some footage of a video, so let's roll that one. Unbelievable. Oh my gosh. Put your hands together, everybody. How amazing is that?
Thank you. Thank you.
That is like obviously one of the most impossible and inspiring things. You've got to tell us, how many times have you been absolutely smashed by a wave?
Definitely way more times than not being smashed. No, I'm joking. But many times, many times. I get pounded pretty often, even though I try to avoid it, but sometimes it's impossible.
Oh, gosh.
No, the waves, they always surprise us. To become a surfer, even though for who can see, it's an act of faith, because you're waiting for something that you can't really see, so you never know what's going to happen. And imagine when you cannot see. To read the wave is something really challenging. So sometimes I do get pounded. But I am prepared for that. I work out a lot. I do everything that I can do. So when that happens, I know how to deal with a really gnarly situation.
So Pipeline wasn't big enough for you. You set the next goal to go to one of the biggest surfing waves in the world, which is where?
Well, after surfing Pipeline, I really wanted to surf bigger waves, and I started to do towing, which is when you have the ski, right, to tow on a wave, and surfing some bigger waves in Hawaii, bigger waves back home. And I really want to surf a Nazaré in Portugal.
One of
the biggest waves in the world.
It's like one of the most famous big wave places in the world, right? Where 100-foot waves. So I think here we go. We've got a little shot of it up behind us. It looks absolutely terrifying. I can't imagine why you would want to surf that, but I'm inspired that you did. So, okay, how did you prepare for surfing this wave? Because you were talking about holding your breath in case you went under.
Yeah, it's like 3 years preparing.
Wow.
Changing many ideas how to work out. Sometimes waking up 4 a.m. in the morning to work out and prepare myself physically. Mm-hmm. A lot of apnea training where I'd have to hold my breath longer. I couldn't even hold my breath for like 30 seconds, and my goal was, I want to go to Nazaré, being able to hold my breath under the water for 3 minutes, and I was able to, my record was 3.5 minutes.
What the heck?
So it's a lot of preparation we have to do to surf big waves, because Nazaré is a place where even though you do everything right, mm-hmm. correctly, perfectly, it can still go wrong.
Wow. So, I mean, the whole point of holding your breath is if you get crushed under a wave, you've got to be able to hold your breath under the wave for that length of time. How do you, obviously, most people, if they're under a wave, are going to look up and see light and know that's up. How do you know?
I love that question. I really wonder if someone, when they are under the wave, if they really think about seeing the light to come up. I never thought about that. But anyway, but no, I like that question because it's really interesting. When we are under the water, the pressure of the ocean,
yes.
you know, take us up
right.
as soon as it gives us a chance. And every time, actually, I get asked that question, I'm like, I hope one day I don't confuse and go to the wrong way. Because thankfully, I was always able to make it up.
So far, so good, eh? All right. Yeah. That's awesome. That's awesome. I love that. Well, when did you go to Nazaré? What year did you go there to surf?
So, first time I went was about 5 years ago.
Yes.
And since then, I've been able to go back for every season and spend the big wave season over there, which happens between October and February, March.
Okay. So it's not just you. It's not just that you've surfed it once. You've surfed it a few times.
Yes, I've been going back all the time. Yes.
Okay. Now that's awesome. We've got some footage of you, and this is inspiring. Check this out.
I really remember how everything happened. I was so focused on the
when he was holding the rope behind the ski, it was God, the wave, and I, nothing else.
Unbelievable. That is just freaky, just watching you do that. And I've seen guys who can see doing that. That's absolutely amazing. Isn't that amazing? Put your hands together for Derek. How inspiring. Absolutely inspiring. So let me ask you a couple of questions. So you're obviously a goal setter. You like to set a goal and work your way towards that next challenge. Tell us a couple of things that are on your list, because I feel like you're probably done, but I know you're not. So what else is on your list to achieve?
Yeah, I do love setting goals. And it's never, when I set those goals in life, they always become, because of a reason. It's never like, I want to do this to break a record or to prove things to people, or not even to prove anything to myself. It's just my own desire of doing certain things. That's how I was when I wanted to start to surf, to go to a pipeline to surf Nazaré. And one of the next projects I have now, I actually have this project, this idea that's becoming a project. It's been like 12 years, which is to climb the Mount Everest.
And of course.
My team and I, we are working to see how we can make this happen. It's something
really,
especially with all the environment laws, and it's really hard to make it happen. And a lot of workout. Need to prepare a lot of preparation, training. Once we can jump on that journey, we'll be at least, I guess, like 3-4 years. To make it happen.
What?
But before those 3-4 years, is still a lot to go. So it's something that will happen in long term, but I'm looking forward.
That's amazing. I mean, if you could probably set your goals a bit higher, that would be a really... I'm not quite sure.
Yeah, it's pretty high, right?
That's amazing. How do you deal with fear?
Well, fear is something that we feed up inside ourselves, right? Mm-hmm. We can feed the fear or not feed. Mm-hmm. And it's our choice. And when we want to do something, we can choose rather having our focus on our faith, mm-hmm. and God, a focus on our goal, mm-hmm. or spend up most of the time thinking on things that go wrong. So that's basically how I deal with fear. And if I'm doing something and I feel scared, it shows me that I'm not prepared and I need to get better. So that's how I was when I wanted to surf big waves.
Right.
On the first few times, I was like, I don't think I'm ready for that. There were many times that I went out in Nazaré and I said to my team, guys, I can't. I think it's too big for me today. I'm going to go in, train, work out harder, and I'll come back tomorrow with more confidence.
Wow.
Because if you're not confident, and you can't surf big waves. You can't do anything.
Crazy. What's the adrenaline like when you're going down the face of a massive wave? What's that feel like?
If I would compare something like surfing big waves with another sport, it's a similar feeling when you're snowboarding. When you go down a giant mountain of snow.
Because you've done that, right?
Yes, and it just... But snowboarding is way easier than surfing. Right. So, but it just feels like it never ends. It's a lot of adrenaline, a lot of high speed. It's a feeling that's hard to describe. It's an unimaginable feeling. So requires a lot, and I need to be really, really good mentally, even better mentally than physically to do that. And for me, being really good spiritually and connected to God, that's what makes happen in my life. And being the ocean, for me, it's the place that I feel more connected to Him. And right. I think that's why I'm able to do this also.
Wow, I love that. I want to talk about two more things. First of all, you showed us a photo this morning of your guide dog, which we've got here, Serena. How old is Serena? How long have you had her, I'm guessing?
Yeah, so I have this amazing being, which is my guide dog. We've been together for 6 years. She's 7 years old. I got her when she was a puppy. I got her in California. And our relationship is wonderful. We go along so well. And it's amazing how she helps me. It's amazing how a dog can help someone with just guiding and just helping. And
does she, in terms of learning and working with you, has she always known what to do? Have you had to train her along the way? Or
yeah, they go for training since when they are puppy, right? And
yes,
they basically, the way it works, they link a dog with a handler. They interview the blind people that want to have a dog, so they can find the perfect dog that will match with you. So, and then you go to school, you stay a month in training with the dog. So that's how they match you with the dog. So the dog gets used to you. And the connection that we establish between the guide dog and the guide dog handler, it's something so beautiful. Because the same way she reads my mind and I read her mind. I wake up in the morning, she's there waiting for me. She only goes bed at night when I go. And unfortunately, she couldn't come with me to Australia. It's always a very busy trip where it would be a lot of sacrifice to bring her here so long. So, but I'm sure she's missing me a lot.
I'm sure she is. Do you FaceTime her?
She doesn't like to FaceTime with me. No, she actually does not. I don't know why. I know that some dogs, when their parents travel, they like, you know, if you'd get the camera and show the dog, the person, the dog would be looking at the camera, wagging the tail. But every time I call my wife, if she wants to put the phone near the dog, she goes to the bedroom or to the bed. She doesn't really like. I don't
know
why.
Doesn't like it. There we go. Hey.
When I travel, I give her my stinking socks, so... so she can think about me.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Hey, I want to just talk a little bit about your faith. So you're obviously a Christian, and it has a big impact, and you've referred to it before. When did you begin a relationship with Jesus?
I was invited to go church through a friend of mine when I was about to be 15 years old. Mm-hmm. And even though I always felt really strong, very confident in life, I knew that I had this emptiness in my heart that I never understood what was missing. And I realized that God was missing when I first felt His presence in my life when I went to that church. And since then, I wanted to walk with Him. I started to understand about faith, and I realized that to live the life I wanted to live, I needed to walk by faith and not by sight. Mm-hmm. And way beyond that, without faith, we can't please Him.
Right.
And then I wanted to get baptized. I went to the water, got baptized, and I started to walk with God since then. And I believe that was the biggest change and the biggest decision I took in my life.
Wow. So there'll be some friends of friends and people here tonight who who aren't in a relationship with God, they don't have that friendship. What's it like to be friends with God?
Be friends with God is to put your trust on someone that will be always there for you. Whatever, no matter what you feel, if you feel lonely, if you feel weak, you know that there is someone that loves you. You know that there is someone that will take care of you, that will bring joy, that will bring peace, that will forgive you no matter what you do, no matter what you have done. That's what God is for me, and that's what I believe that He is for each of you here tonight.
Love that. And so when you're facing fears or uncertainties, you just talk to Him. Is that what happens?
Especially when I need to face fear. And every time when I go surf, when I put my first step in the water, I pray, I ask Him to guide me, to be with me. And I've been surfing for 15 years, and I never have got injured. I never have got an injury that has taken me out of the water and that stopped me to surf. And I believe that is His hands protecting me. It's His angels around me, especially surfing big waves.
Oh, gosh. I reckon, too. That's awesome. So the beginning of a relationship with Jesus for people. So you're in a service like this. A friend invited you into a service, and you just decided that there was something missing and you wanted to start that relationship with God. Was it that simple?
It was some moments I was like, well, I have everything I want, but sometimes I was thinking that I was not as happy as I wanted to be.
Right.
And that was when I went to church. Mm-hmm. And when I met God, everything changed. I was able to start to learn how to surf after that. Mm. And for me, that's a evidence that there were things missing in my life.
Right.
And after that moment, I gave my life to Christ. I understood His purpose in my life. You know, that's the reason I was born blind. And even though I wanted to see, I want to still see one day, He had a reason that He let me be born like that.
Wow. You talk about purpose. And for a lot of people, purpose, you know, why am I on this earth? Why has God put me here? So for you, you believe your purpose relates to... What would you describe your purpose as?
Yeah, I do believe that He had this huge purpose in my life. Mm-hmm. He had the reason that He allowed me to be born blind. Mm-hmm. And maybe He was testing me to see if I would be grateful or ungrateful about that. He had this reason that He allowed me, and He gave me the talent to go surf. And I see that His purpose was obviously for me to be able to accomplish this on this air, but use surfing not only to make me happy, but to inspire others, to show others that it is possible. If you trust and you put your trust in God, it's possible to do things.
I love that. I love that. I think that's a good indication of no matter what obstacles or challenges we all face, that God's created us for a purpose. He's able to take those obstacles or challenges that we face and turn them for good. And in your case, created a platform, one, to do something that you really love. I like that. I think that's a good indication of God's purpose. It's usually going to be something that you enjoy. But the second thing is, it's created a platform for you to speak to like tens of thousands of people that you wouldn't have had the impact apart from what you do. So inspiring, man. Thank you. Thank you so much for sharing. Can you put your hands together for Derek?
Thank you.
Get you to stay there, Derek. We'll just stay here together for a moment. I just want us to close our eyes.